Lord, we pray that we might see your presence among us and see the true nature of faith that we are called to. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three lies that distort our identity and sense of worth. They are, I am what I own. I am what I do. I am what others say or think about me. The power of these lies flows from the fact that they are built on truth, but they deceive us when the part misrepresents the whole. These mistaken visions of human identity are exposed in Jesus' encounter with people on the way to Jerusalem. In each case, what we see is that our value, our identity, our belonging doesn't hinge upon what we own, what we do, or what others say about us, so much as what really counts is the love that Jesus has for us, what he has done for us, and how he sets us all free. Today's encounter with Bartimaeus exposes this lie that I am what others say about me. And although we all know the children's rhyme about sticks and stones, the truth is what people say about us deeply impacts our sense of identity and belonging. We belong when people include us, when others see us for who we truly are, not in spite of our bodies, but with our bodies, however they happen to function, without wanting to fix us or to patronize us. Conversely, when people are only seen through the lens of difference, we shouldn't be surprised that they leave. So many people drift away from God, not because they don't belong, but because they never feel free enough to stay. Our story today begins with Jesus walking through Jericho. It's his last stop before Jerusalem, the heart of Israel's hopes and dreams. It's a small town, and no sooner does Jesus walk into it than he seems to be leaving again. Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside, presumably in a spot where he sat day after day. For how long is anybody's guess? But Bartimaeus was blind, but not deaf. He could hear the crowd coming. What starts as a murmur becomes a cacophony of voices and bodies all moving and talking and yelling and laughing, and a bubble begins to rise to the surface. A moment of decision stirs within Bartimaeus' soul. What is he going to do? Surely for a beggar, this would be his rainmaker day. With such a large crowd and his cloak stretched out, I wonder if he thought, how much money could I make today? Would it be enough for the day, or maybe for the week, perhaps for the month, depending upon how big the crowd was that was coming? Bartimaeus calls out at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Over and over he calls out, and everybody else gets angry with him. Perhaps because, well, he's just ruining the moment when the great Jesus of Nazareth was passing by through their town. In our world today, so often people with disabilities are treated as an inconvenience. People get so irritated that they can't use the stairs or the bathroom needs renovating. It's so irritating until you're the person who can't open the door until you're the person who can't use the toilet when you desperately need it. The problem isn't Bartimaeus. It's that we've built a world that doesn't pay much thought to anybody whose mind or body just doesn't work the same way. So when the crowd starts to call Bartimaeus every name other than the one his mother gave him, maybe you understand why he was hollering so loudly. But the world is not the only place that tells people to be quiet. The church does a pretty good job at this too. For generations, women called out to have their gifts for leadership recognized. But we're told that, well, leadership is a matter of having the right privates for public worship. Figure that one out. For generations, people of color cried out for justice, only to be told that the gospel was simply and only about getting into heaven. After all, isn't Jesus white? For generations, gender and sexually diverse people have called out to have their relationships respected, only to be told that God's plan for the world is a binary choice, even though creation has always been a multicolored wonder. I am what others say about me is a lie that leads not into belonging, but into isolation. The words, the looks, the way others treat us make us feel alone, self-conscious, discouraged. For try as we might, we don't fit because we can't fit into another person's expectations. Sadly, monstrous theologies can emerge too. Theologies which bleed the gospel of everything that Jesus does and say in these very pages of the gospel itself. Thank goodness Bartimaeus refuses to let himself be silenced or pushed aside. It's quite annoying to people who think they control theological truth when Jesus has a habit of calling back. Jesus was no quibbler. When he heard Bartimaeus calling out to him, he didn't say, Bartimaeus, I think your theology needs a little correction. I'm the Son of God who's come to save people from their sins. I'm not really the son of David. So I better keep walking. You can come back when you get your theology straight. While the church seems to be too content to talk at the world and keep walking by, Jesus stops and calls Bartimaeus to come to him. Call him, he says. Call him over. Come on. Come here. That's how Jesus responds. Jesus calls to very few people in Mark's gospel. I don't know if you realize that in chapter 1, Jesus calls Simon and Andrew. Come on. In chapter 2, Jesus calls Levi. Come on. In chapter 6, he calls the 12 so he can send them out two by two. So when Jesus calls someone, something big is about to happen. So at Jesus' invitation, Bartimaeus gets up and leaves all that he has behind. A cloak may not seem that big for us, to people who own shelves full of shoes, but to a beggar, a cloak was a survival suit. It would keep them warm in winter. It would give them shade in summer. With a cloak spread out, you could catch anything that anyone happened to throw at you. What we see here is a person who has nothing, who is prepared to leave it all behind to gain that which could never be bought. What a contrast this is to the story of the wealthy person earlier in chapter 10, who struggles to leave anything behind, who turns away from the priceless gift that Jesus had to offer. What happens next can strike us as odd, living as we do in a world where experts seem to know everything. What happens next is that Jesus asks Bartimaeus a simple question. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus does not presume to know what Bartimaeus wanted or needed. Think about this. The one who knew God's heart and mind does not presume to know what's best for Bartimaeus. What's more, Jesus does not demand anything of Bartimaeus, and yet he offers everything. How different it is then when the church seems to make belonging conditional upon so many things. Conditional upon believing correctly, or attending regularly, or having a mind or a body that works correctly. We seem to take our lessons more from Job than from Jesus, to think that healing comes only after repenting, rather than seeing the depth of God's love for us. We think that restoration happens only when we get our attitudes and our minds straight. Then we can come to Jesus. In truth, it's the other way around. Jesus respects Bartimaeus' agency and gives him a voice. So what does Bartimaeus ask for? If Bartimaeus wanted money, this was the moment. Despite everyone else having their senses intact, it's a blind beggar who sees Jesus for who he is. And so he replies, "My teacher, let me see again." It's so easy to hear these words flatly, as though Bartimaeus is only interested in having his eyesight cured of whatever malady caused the darkness to descend. Many interpreters understand Bartimaeus as though he is simply asking to be fixed, as though his disability is his only obstacle. At a deeper level, I wonder if Bartimaeus is asking to belong to whatever Jesus is doing, whatever Jesus will do, whatever Jesus will yet do in the future. It's as if he's saying, "Jesus, I can see that you are bringing God's kingdom, and I don't want to miss any of it." In a heartbeat, Bartimaeus' sight is restored. Although Jesus gives him permission to leave, Bartimaeus decides to follow him to Jerusalem. Following Jesus, that is what the gospel is about. That's what it's always been about. Jesus says that it is Bartimaeus' faith, not his beliefs, that have restored him. It's so easy for us to muddle up faith with belief. Beliefs are important, don't get me wrong. They are statements about God that have been honed over centuries. Beliefs are important. But beliefs can become loyalty tests when others expect us to recite them. It was not Bartimaeus' belief or knowledge about Jesus that made the difference. It was his faith. Faith in Jesus, faith in this person who shows us the face of God, faith in this person being the one who can change our life and restore the world to the way it was always meant to be. It's faith that allowed Bartimaeus to see the very thing that religious authorities refused to see, even though he was blind. Bartimaeus appreciated, had some sense of vision of what the writer of Hebrews conveys, that Jesus as David's son is the doorway to a better covenant, that he is the one who guarantees our salvation because he is the ultimate high priest. To say that Jesus is holy and blameless and undefiled is not to emphasize how different he is from us, but rather it is to say that this Jesus, this high priest, is one who cannot be corrupted, that he is not one who will be distorted or pushed off course or become weary and tired of doing what is right. We should have confidence in this Jesus, that he is the one who can and will do what he said he will do, because he is the one who will never die. He is the high priest who stands between us and God, welcoming us in all our multicolored glory. Bartimaeus saw that this son of David will have mercy upon us all. There are many times in my life where I've wished to have the same power that Jesus does, to heal people, to see their bodies and minds restored. I don't have that power. The power that I do have is the power to notice faith. Faith is the power to see what is and yet to see what can or will become because of what Jesus does. Faith brings peace. Faith brings belonging. It brings comfort and wholeness even when our bodies and our minds just don't work properly. What matters is what Jesus offers us. What he said to Bartimaeus is what he says to us. Come here. What do you want me to do for you? My job, our job as a church, is not to pretend that someone's impairment doesn't matter, because it does. As my friend Michael Wedgwood would put it, impairment is such a bugger. But faith says to us, guys, we can slow down. We can hear what another person has to say. We can adapt to what they need. We can relate and enable them to belong, to find the freedom that Christ gives us, to find and see Jesus, and to follow him. Faith says that someone's blindness or neuroatypicality, their sexuality, their gender is never a problem to be fixed. Rather, it's an experience that enables them to see and know and follow Jesus in a way that we never could. The gospel is always about having faith, faith in Jesus, faith to follow Jesus, so that we can live into God's kingdom now. It's not simply about holding the right beliefs so that we can get into heaven. Faith is Jesus' gift to us now, a gift that changes lives here and now. Because the story of Jesus is that we are deeply, deeply loved. He has set us free. And because we are free, we can follow Jesus on the way. Whatever our mind or bodies do, we are free always to follow him in whatever way we can. Faith is a gift for us to see beyond the binary, to see what is and what might yet become because of what Christ does for us all. Amen.